Okay. Today is topical class, as you all know. And this topical class is on Vaishnava qualities. And all the classes have been on Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Ki. The last few weeks of classes have been on Vaishnava qualities, and this one will focus on the Vaishnava quality of honesty. And we're just booting up the computer. I didn't get a chance to get a verse up, but I picked one out just for fun. And we'll start with that. I'll just recite it because none of you can see it. I picked out 1:2:17, which goes, Shrinvatang Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Rajanta Stop Hyabhadrani Virunoti Surit Satam. And the translation for that is, Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is Paramatma, Supersoul, in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee, who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. Now, the purport to that verse isn't about the same subject, but I have some more Prabhupada purports that will go along with it. But I just basically found some various references from Bhagavad Gita and Canto 1 on honesty, and then also reflected on any previous reading that I've done throughout my small lifetime from other places, and including the Mahabharata and Ramayana, and they're mostly from the Bhagavatam itself, but they come into play there. So, in the Bhagavad Gita, I looked at where honesty comes up, and where it's listed, and its significance. And I came across a couple of verses with these. There's a section of three verses in a row with lists of qualities, and the first one is from Bhagavad Gita 10:4 to 10:5, which reads, intelligence, knowledge, freedom from doubt and delusion, forgiveness, truthfulness, control of the senses, control of the mind, happiness and distress, birth, death, fear, fearlessness, non-violence, equanimity, satisfaction, austerity, charity, fame and infamy. All these various qualities of living beings are created by me alone. So this is Krishna is stating that he is the control. He is creating all these qualities, and in the purport, he speaks particularly. He elaborates on each of them. And there's a section on satyam, truthfulness. Satyam, truthfulness means that facts should be presented as they are, for the benefit of others. Facts should not be misrepresented. According to social conventions, it is said that one can speak the truth only when it is palatable to others, but that is not truthfulness. The truth should be spoken in a straightforward way so that others will understand actually what the facts are. If a man is a thief, and if people are warned that he is a thief, that is truth. Although sometimes the truth is unpalatable, one should not refrain from speaking it. Truthfulness demands that the facts be presented as they are, for the benefit of others. That is the definition of truth. So here, the definition of truth is that you speak the facts. You don't dilute it, you don't cut it out. But it doesn't just say that, it says for the benefit of others. So it's interesting because Prabhupada is saying that you speak it, and whether it's hurtful or not, you say it. But at the same time, he's also saying it has to be beneficial. It's not that you just tell someone they're fat and ugly and let them go and cry about it. It's more specific. It has to be some kind of instruction, something to help them. Like on the streets, a lot of people do sankirtan, and they tell people the obvious truths that they've missed all their lives about not being this body and other spiritual facts that we have in our literature. and for a lot of people this shocks them, but the argument of the presentation of truth doesn't end in that verse. I've got, or in that purport, I've got another couple verses, a little bit of purport, and then I'll sum it all up with some more. So this next one is another list of qualities from the Bhagavad Gita, which is from the 16th chapter. It's the first three chapters, and it's another interesting long list like the other one. Supreme Personality of Godhead said, fearlessness, purification of one's existence, cultivation of spiritual knowledge, charity, self-control, performance of sacrifice, study of the Vedas, austerity, simplicity, non-violence, truthfulness, freedom from anger, renunciation, tranquility, aversion to fault-finding, compassion for all living entities, freedom from covetousness, gentleness, modesty, steady determination, vigor, forgiveness, goes long on and on, fortitude, cleanliness, and freedom from envy and from the passion for honor. These transcendental qualities, O son of Bharata, belong to godly men endowed with divine nature. So there it is, truthfulness is somewhere in the midst of those three verses of qualities, and it is for those who belong to the divine nature. So he's basically pointing out that these are the qualities of devotees, or that devotees should aspire for. So, and the purport, I picked out the section again on truthfulness, satyam. This word means that one should not distort the truth for some personal interest. In Vedic literature, there are some difficult passages, but the meaning or the purpose should not be learned from, should be learned from a bona fide spiritual master. That is the process for understanding the Vedas. Shruti means that one should hear from the authority. One should not construe some interpretation for his personal interest. There are so many commentaries on Bhagavad Gita that misinterpret the original text. The real import of the word should be presented, and that should be learned from a bona fide spiritual master. Again here, it's pointing out that you don't misinterpret things. People are reading all these scriptures which have the truth, and then they're misinterpreting them for their own personal benefits. They're justifying themselves. I mean, even now in ISKCON we have quotas, people who will throw out a certain quote that Prabhupada said just to justify their own sense gratification or their political agenda. And similarly, throughout time, where you have, in India, for example, you have your Vedas, and in the West, I suppose, we have the Bible, people are using these texts for their own personal agendas. They're misconstruing the meaning of them and pulling something else out of it. And this is also, this purport is also pointing out that a spiritual master whose job is to honestly distribute that knowledge down the disciplic succession. His job is to be truthful, and it's also our job as a disciple or someone who's fond of truthfulness to seek out a spiritual master to receive the truth. Not that you just go and try and find it yourself. You find someone who is an authority and who does speak the truth, and you learn from him. The last two verses, well, the purports, Srila Prabhupada is speaking very fondly of speaking the truth, not diluting it, just giving it out there and kind of maybe hitting people over the head with it, if you interpret it that way. But the next verse, I was part of one topical class I gave before, which is on the austerity of speech. It is Bhagavad Gita 17:15, and it reads as follows. Austerity of speech consists in speaking words that are truthful, pleasing, beneficial, and not agitating to others, and also in regularly reciting Vedic literature. Okay, the purport to this verse, I picked out another small section. Sorry, there's lots of little purports here and there. One should not speak in such a way to agitate the minds of others. Of course, when a teacher speaks, he can speak the truth for the instruction of his students, but such a teacher should not speak to those who are not his students if he will agitate their minds. This is penance as far as talking is concerned. Of course, this is austerity of speech. This isn't necessarily honesty, but there's further instruction on how to present your honest truth. Although you speak the truth, the heavy truth, you don't necessarily speak it to disturb people. And this is where I brought up the the Sankirtan example, because this also happens. We're not to disturb the minds of people unless they're going to benefit from this truth. Sometimes it's a little heavy to hear the truth. You know, sometimes you've got to get chastised. But when you're chastised and you learn, then you know that's positive. But if you're just chastised and you just feel like you're an idiot, or it's just instructions that you just simply can't follow, then it's not really beneficial at all. So this is kind of countering the balance, so to speak. And I'll just finish with my little quotes, and then I'll get rid of them. Back to the purports from before 10.4.5. Later in the purport, I saved it till after this. There is more to be said. All these qualities are manifest throughout the universe, in human society, and in the society of the demigods. There are many forms of humanity on other planets, and these qualities are there. Now, for one who wants to advance in Krishna consciousness, Krishna creates all these qualities, but the person develops them himself from within. One who engages in devotional service of the Supreme Lord develops all the good qualities as arranged by the Supreme Lord. I think elsewhere we also read that if you just chant Hare Krishna, all these qualities develop. So Prabhupada is pointing out that these qualities come from Krishna. And I know that in that other section it talks that you don't have to make a separate endeavor, but I'll just quote this next part from 16.1.3 and then we'll get into that. The purport is that even though material conditions are miserable, if these qualities are developed by practice by all classes of men, then gradually it is possible to rise to the highest platform of transcendental realization. So, point of discussion, I don't know if do we want to have a discussion or do we just want to think about it? Do these qualities come about by our endeavor, or do we simply endeavor in Krishna consciousness and then these qualities come about? Do we develop these qualities aside from Krishna consciousness for our Krishna consciousness, or does our Krishna consciousness develop these qualities? Treasure Brew. It's good. I like that. That was good. Any more comments on that? Or is that? I think that's pretty clear. Fair point. That's good. That's why I like that point, that these shastras you have, there's all these examples of people with qualities that we can try to follow in the footsteps of, which, like I was going to use some examples from the Mahabharata and Ramayana later, to encourage some discussion. Not exactly on that, but yeah, it's a fair point. So I think the conclusion is that you can't just chant Hare Krishna and expect to become a superhero. You have to make some endeavor. And I think the Ramanuja Sampradaya, they have a discussion whether we are like cats or we are like monkeys. And the monkeys, the mother carries the monkey from branch to branch, but the baby monkey has to hold on. That's all he has to do. He has to hold on, and the mother monkey takes care of him, whereas the cat just gets picked up by his mother and is completely helpless, and she just looks after him. And there's a big discussion whether that's God's relationship with us, whether God is just simply just dragging us around and we have no say whatsoever and we can just sit around and salvation is predetermined, or whether we have to make some endeavour to show Krishna that, you know, we want to hold on. So we've gone through that. My next discussion point is, now that we've established truthfulness as a godly quality of the devotee, which is given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, can a devotee lie? I know there's a couple. I'm sure most of you know the stories, but does anyone recall any stories where this came up? Can a devotee lie, or should a devotee lie, and when or what? Okay, let's see prayer. Because he's... Well, yeah, at this point, Yudhisthira never spoke a lie. And so Krishna asked him to speak a lie, to to announce in the battlefield that Ashwatthama is dead, the son of Dronacharya, their teacher and opposition. And, of course, as far as the Mahabharata version I read, Bhima calls this out, and Dronacharya makes his way to Yudhisthira and asks him, is it true? And Yudhisthira says no, because, you know, Bhima was happy to tell the lie. But Krishna said, no, it has to come from Yudhisthira, because Dronacharya will only accept Yudhisthira's word, because only he has not spoken any lies. And in the end, the negotiation has to be made that Yudhisthira says Ashwatthama, the elephant, has died, because there was an elephant named Ashwatthama. And when he says elephant, there is a conch, and then just that detail is removed, and then Dronacharya, he quits his body, and, well, he's slain by someone, but he gives up before he's slain, which is another issue. So after this whole incident, because the Pandavas, they're godly, so their chariots don't even touch the ground, and Yudhisthira's chariot actually touched the ground. And the opinion in our tradition is that because he refused Krishna's order, his chariot touched the ground. Of course, in other traditions, the opinion is because he told a lie, his chariot touched the ground. So it's one of those points that people have a lot of discussion on. But as far as I know, Prabhupada said that because he didn't openly fulfill Krishna's order, that incident took place. So as Rasamana Prabhu was saying, like there's many stories in the scripture, in the Mahabharata, and the Ramayana, we see that Ram is so adamant to make Dasarath's word true that he's willing to go to the forest for 14 years. So God, as a righteous king, exemplifies that truthfulness is very, very important. The word, that your word is, especially as a king or someone of a high authority, that your word should not be compromised. And we see it so much also in the Mahabharata, that they take a vow. And when they take a vow, it's a serious thing. And actually, if you follow a vow, there's certain siddhi that you receive from following these vows, not breaking your word. And they always make outrageous vows, and then they have to follow them. And finally, at the end of the Mahabharata, when the Pandavas are climbing this mountain and they're all falling to death for a different sin, so to speak. And when Arjuna fell, Yudhisthira said he fell because at the start of the battle he was so boastful that he said he would kill all the Kauravas in a single day. And he didn't, I don't know if he really meant it, but he said it and he didn't do it. and this was considered his major fault. So people didn't speak idle words in a Vedic culture. Their words had substance, and their words were honest. And there's one other story. Does anyone know the story of the dacoits and the Brahmin, Jamasi Prabhu? No, he pointed in the right direction. Yeah, because basically these people were running from some thugs, and they told the Brahmin to lie for them so the thugs wouldn't kill them, and he didn't lie because, you know, he's Brahmin, and Brahmins are honest. And that's backed up by Bhagavad Gita 18:42, Brahmins are honest. And yeah, he was honest. But his honesty caused the death of these people who didn't necessarily need to die. So in that point, he could have used his Brahminical authority to lure these bandits to another path. So it's not that honesty is the highest principle, but is principle for higher things. So we use it as a stepping stone. If it's not favorable, you have to reject honesty. Of course, you know, lying as a habit is if you're lying as a habit, then that's definitely a problem. It means you most likely haven't mastered the art of being honest, because usually in majority of cases, honesty is the best answer. What was I just about to go into? Maharaj? It is. Karna. And then he ends up speaking harshly to Yudhishthira because he insults him, because it's as good as death. But it's funny you mentioned. It's funny, this story. It starts with another vow, because Karna, he vows he will not kill any of the Pandavas except for Arjuna. So he's such a powerful warrior, he could have ended the battle by killing Yudhishthira at this point. But because of his vow, he didn't. And thus the battle went on, and Karna lost his life for his vow. Well, yeah, regardless, I mean, he shouldn't have told the truth in that point. So whether he concealed the... Of course, if it was two paths and he kept silent, then the thugs may have just found that they could have split up as well. But if he... So it was probably best that he just told the truth. I mean, sorry, told a lie. So, yeah, I mean... The point of the story, like later the story, it goes on to the realm of Yamaraj, the superintendent of death, and he and he chastises him for telling the lie. So, Maharaj, you wanted to add something there? Mm-hmm. So I suppose, yeah, the conclusion is that if it benefits people, then that's the best method, you know. Like, ahimsa is above honesty. Kanchapali Mataji? Good point. That's it. So I suppose that answers the question. He may have been punished for telling a lie, but he should have, because the punishment for telling the lie was not as bad as the punishment for telling the truth in that case. I'm going to move on, unless there's any more points, to the next thing. I'm now in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, and we have Maharaj Parikshit. He is punishing Kali, and Kali is attacking the bull Dharma, and Dharma has four legs, religious principles. Anyone want to have a stab at them? Cleanliness, truthfulness, mercy and austerity, yeah. So truthfulness is the last leg of Dharma after he's chopped off three legs. Truthfulness is the remaining one. Although, does he not go later and have a little hack at the Dharma bull when Parikshit's not paying attention? When Parikshit leaves his body, is it inferred that Kali then goes back to this bull and desecrates him once more? Or is it because... No. Is it because Parikshit Maharaj makes Kali restore the bull's four legs, but then when Parikshit Maharaj leaves his body, is it inferred that Kali then comes back and has another go at Dharma, or is it because obviously now we're in Kali Yuga and the legs of Dharma are all but gone, Maharaj? To some degree, yeah. But the rest are kind of yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we still have some kind of honesty. I mean, it's waning. It will wane at the end of Kali Yuga, obviously, when everyone's eating each other and going mad. But yeah, we still have, you know, you can still go to a grocery store and give them the money and they give you the correct change. You know, it's not like, well, in most places. But the reason why I brought us to this point is because the four regulative principles, we say no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, and no gambling, these are to support these principles. And one of these principles is truthfulness. So being truthful, you could infer, is following the four regulative principles. That is the principle that we're trying to protect. So it really shows that truthfulness is at the forefront of our philosophy. And maybe we mask it by saying that the negatives of these four things, but this is what we're trying to aspire to. So I don't think that you... I did a research paper on this. I didn't finish it, but for the Bhakti Vaibhava course last my first year. And yeah, it's not... you can't just say that if you roll dice at a casino that you're breaking the regulative principles. And as far as I know, Prabhupada at other points will talk about speculative philosophy, or at least I've heard it many times, and that then goes back to what he was talking about in the Bhagavad Gita, that truthfulness is not speculating and making up new philosophies and all this hodgepodge. Sokma, yeah. Radha Gopinath ki. Yeah, I mean, so honesty is one of our four legs of mode of goodness, of religion, of Krishna consciousness, that Prabhupada preached these four regulative principles and chanting 16 rounds. These are like the main things he preached. So it has a fair substantial position in our movement. It's not just, like, I mean, in the Bhagavad Gita you see it's listed amongst a lot of qualities. Of course, these other ones, compassion and austerity, there also. But these are like our main foundating principles that we have to follow. We have to be truthful. We have to be austere. No comment on that one. We have to be compassionate. We have to be compassionate to all living entities. I mean, this is what the preaching movement is. We're compassionate, and we're spreading the truth. And I mean, of course, you see the Pancharatras and all Srila Prabhupada's instructions on deity worship, cleanliness is there, and it's not just an external cleanliness. We chant to have internal cleanliness. So these are our four regulative principles, and truthfulness is not to be neglected in our society. It's a fundamental religious principle, and if we want to progress in our Krishna consciousness, we have to keep truthfulness at the forefront. Unless, of course, someone is trying to kill some devotees, then we can make up some lies. I'm going to stop at this point, because Shamananda Prabhu is going to do a dramatic piece on truthfulness. And afterwards we'll take further questions and comments. Should I move?
clean inside. What is that song? I have to be truthful. I promised my counselor, Govinda Prabhu, that I wouldn't let it happen again. I lied. Well, I thought I was being honest. I told him I was having struggles, problems, difficulties. Fall down. He was so kind. He told me I could do better. And I was. For a while. But here I am again. Krishna or Maya? I thought it would all just go away after we spoke. I felt such relief after we talked. He gave me such encouragement to pick myself up and push on. He made me believe in myself again, that I could be a good devotee. And I was. For a while. But here I am again. Krishna. Oh, Maya. I gave him my word. He made me promise that if ever I felt too much to struggle again, I was too tempted, I would call him. But I don't think I should bother him now. He's too busy. He has too many other responsibilities. He has so many devotees to look after. Why should I bother him now? I can do this on my own. It's such a simple thing. I just have to choose. Krishna. Maya. I think the problem is I didn't tell him the truth. Well, not the whole truth anyway. How could I? The whole truth? It's too embarrassing. Oh, what does it matter, Adam? Would it make a difference? Would it change anything? I don't know what. Was it? What was it Krishna says? Shrinvatam Svakta Krishna. Punya Shravana Kirtan. Hridanstha Abhyam. Vidunoti Suhit Sitam. Shri Krishna, the Paramatma, the super soul in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee. He cleanses the desire for material attachment from one who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous and properly heard and chanted. So that's all I have to do? Be truthful? Krishna, or Maya, I can't do this on my own. Govinda Prabhu, it's me.
Shamanan. Okay, so we're going to open the forum to questions, comments. Nagini Maraji. Dictionaries. As far as I know, no, but anyone who has a better knowledge of English and Latin.
Probably one implies more something than the other.
I could use a dictionary. I'm not really certain if there's anything there. I'm sure, obviously, the linguistic origin of the two is from different places, but I think now in our society they imply the same thing. No, they're both Vasacham. There wasn't another one. So yeah, I'm. Ah, yes. Well, then that's. Okay. So in other words, honesty was what we were getting at with the Brahmin. Okay, so that's the point. So truthful is telling the facts, and honesty is being true.
Of course, we are in the same. That's a dishonest definition of truthfulness. Because truthfulness should be here, otherwise it's not truthfulness.
Telling the whole truth, nothing but the truth. There's a few, a Ritvatam or something as well. There's another word I saw, but I don't know the Sanskrit enough to discriminate which was what. So yeah, I didn't mention that, but you must know that. there's a few different words for honesty, but with slightly different literal meanings and ideas behind them in Sanskrit as well as English, I suppose. Sundri? Well, I mean, we were talking about the four regulative principles, and there's certain acts like thievery and different things that are not truthful actions. And actually, I mean, Prabhupada says you call a thief a thief. So I suppose, yeah, I mean, actions and words, they're different facets for our expression, but they're still what we express. So like we said, if you're honest by nature, then you will act honestly. You won't do things behind people's backs and all these things. So yeah, just as Prabhupada said, you know, especially with our financial endeavors, we should be transparent. So yeah, you should act in a transparent way. You shouldn't have too many. I mean, obviously you have confidentiality, but you shouldn't be harboring all these secrets and doing all these things behind people's backs. Your character should be unquestionable. Mark. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the first part of my class I was talking about, well, I probably didn't stab the point in the jugular. It's important as a teacher to be firm with your student and give them the truth, but it's not meant to agitate the minds of the ignorant. This is not our goal. We're not meant to disturb those who are well situated with truth that doesn't apply to them. So the truth has to be uncompromised, but it has to be applicable to the situation. Like I gave the example, a quick example, that you don't just tell someone they're fat and ugly because it's not going to achieve anything. It's just going to make them cry. You know, you might be able to tell them that they dress funny and they can fix it. You know, it has to have some, it can be heavy, but it has to have some benefit. It's not just, because although if we just speak facts, that's like the gyanis, you know. All these, you can get all these books that are out there about all these facts. You can learn about God knows what, race cars and things, but they're not going to benefit our Krishna consciousness. And is that okay? Is that?
Yeah, I mean, as far as possible, as long as you try and do both.
Yeah.
There's a story minister, but once he was walking along the road and he saw some kind of fracas going on with his next door neighbor, and he went up and one gentleman was hitting him up, and he went up and asked the victim and said, "What's going on?" He said, "I'm an astrologer, and I just told this gentleman and next door neighbor that his children are going to die before him. So the next time he came across a similar horoscope, he told the gentleman, "You're going to live for a very, very long time. You might even not be with children." And he was very happy. Exactly the same. But the way he told it was different. So, you know, intelligent person tries to, as far as possible, combine the two.
Yeah, balance.
Yeah, I think, focus of this remark of the Mark is mentioning is when a Brahman comes to a position that is the devilish for everybody, then the truth is palatable, because if you are devilish for someone and you bring it as such, you know, you don't have a hidden agenda to bring something down or whatever.
Yeah, that's similar to what Kanchanavali Manaji was talking about. The saintly people, they're doing it for the benefit of other people.
To the people's of
I think that's a... I mean, yeah, ultimately people have their different approaches, but they have to have the right motivation because they have to have the right motivation because, I mean, of course there's always going to be a situation if someone is limited by this material body or this material world, whether they're divinely qualified guru or not, where there will be some kind of seeming mistake where a disciple will be maybe bludgeoned over the head with too big of a hammer. But, yeah, I mean, also, of course, there's a disciple's responsibility as well in that example. But, yeah, you can only have the right motivation because it takes experience to know how heavy to be on someone, really. That's a different issue, I think. Anyway, we have to finish because we are 4 minutes over time. Grantaram Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Bhagavatam Ki.